Welcome to Crew Tours. This week, I have a new boss. The questions this cast answers are, how can I best prepare for having a new boss? What should I expect with a new boss? And what should I do when I have a new boss? Kate, for some of us, a new boss is a relief. If the boss has been difficult to work with, having someone new in position is like, oh, now I don't have to fight it. Now I can start over with the relationship, all that stuff. For other people, it's a disturbing change. You know, it's somebody that they've got used to. They know how to work with that person. They know what their priorities are. And then it's change. And you have someone new that you don't know. You have no idea how to work with them. You don't know how to tell them all the things that they need to know or that you think they need to know in order to do the job well. And it can be really upsetting for people to have a new boss. But none of us have no feelings about having a new boss. Like, everybody has at least some either good or bad feelings, or maybe a mixture of both. You know, sometimes it's nice to have a change, but you can still be worried about that change. And hopefully your old boss has gone on to something better for them, something that you can stand behind them and say, I'm really glad that they are able to take that opportunity. But all in all, bosses can make our daily life a joy. They can be the person who stretches us, who challenges us, but supports us, the person who can see the best in us and helps us bring that out. Or they can be the person who fires us, right? The person who controls our addiction to food and shelter and clothing. The person who pays us, who sees whether or not we get to be on the best projects, that can be the boss too. So there's a whole mixture of stuff that goes on when we get a new boss, good and bad. And so in this cast, we're going to talk about that transition of having a new boss and what you can do to prepare for it and try and make that transition an easier one, both for you and for your new boss.
Absolutely. So today we're going to cover a couple of things. First, don't defend the status quo. Second, prepare a summary of what you do. Third, pay close attention. And fourth, change your behavior.
Right.
Even if your new boss changes nothing, things are going to change. Just having a new person on the team makes a change. It's a shift. And so it's more than likely that you're going to see some changes, even if they kind of let things ride and watch for a little bit. It's more likely, though, that the new boss will want to make changes to what you're doing and how you're doing it. They're going to have fresh ideas and new suggestions for processes and things like that. You shouldn't be surprised if your new boss wants to make some shifts or suggestions or changes, because they are a new person and there's probably some reasons, right? Everybody has reasons for what they do. So don't act surprised. If you do, it kind of makes you look like you don't understand, because anybody could predict that there will be changes when there's a new boss, right? If you have a new boss, some things are going to change. And acting surprised is going to make it look like you're maybe kind of ignorant, but even more, it might make you kind of look like you're being kind of stubborn, right? Which is something we definitely don't want to do. We want to be supportive. We don't want to get defensive about the way we do things. We don't want to say things like, oh, that's not how we do things around here, or we've always done it this way. If you're thinking, hey, that's not the way we do things around here, isn't defensive, it's just truthful, you're mistaken. Even if you see yourself as really wanting to help and understand, right, help them understand how you've always done things, those comments, those kinds of things, like we've always done it this way, that will be seen as defensive, defending the old way. And
yeah, exactly.
Even though there's good reasons for the way we do things now, your new boss has good reasons for the way they're suggesting things too. Usually there's good reasons for everything that people do, right? We say assume positive intent. Just because we've done it a certain way for a long time doesn't mean that there isn't another way that would work just as well or even better. And hopefully your boss will discuss those changes that they want to make with you before they are made, and you'll be able to explain the background on why the process is the way it is. But being defensive about the current status quo is, it doesn't come across well, and it's not helpful for the team. It's not supportive of the new boss.
Right. You want to support your new boss verbally. You want to actually say out loud, I'm supporting whatever changes that they make. You can be silent and that will be seen as being recalcitrant or being defensive, or people will characterize it that way, even if that's not what you mean. Even if you're just listening and you're taking it in and trying to work out, well, is this good or bad? Is there some pros and cons to this? I know why we do it the way we do it. Now they're suggesting change. Let me think about that. Even if you're doing that, if you're not saying anything, nobody knows that you are supporting the boss. And one of your jobs as a direct is to support the boss. Like, your role essentially is to enable your boss to get things done. That's one of the reasons we have directs, right? Because the boss has more to do than they can do. And so they have helpers, and you're one of the helpers. And so verbally supporting them in the changes is really important. Even if you're not sure that it's going to be better, still support them, because you don't know and it could turn out either way. And, you know, if it turns out really badly, but you supported the boss, you still got the upper ground. If you supported your boss, it goes badly, but you supported them. And, you know, you were like, I'm willing to take this chance. I'm willing to try this thing. And it goes badly. Okay, so we go back to the old way of doing it. It's no big deal, but you've helped the boss do what they want to do. And that will be seen positively. So you can say things like, I can see the benefits of that method, or I can see how that would work, or I think that's worth trying, or I think that's quite innovative. You know, it's not something we've done before, but I think we can do it. And you want to not only be verbally supportive, but actually be supportive in the way you act. So implement the changes willingly. So, there's ways that we do this at work. We see this at work all the time. There's people who are doing something new, but you can tell they don't want to do it, right? They're doing it slowly. They're doing it with bad grace. They're complaining about it at the coffee machine. You don't want to be that person. You want to be the person who is at the front of a change. You're the forward-thinking person. You're the one who is supporting their boss. The boss has this team of people who is trying to manage, trying to lead. And for every person that is behind them, you know, is supporting them, that makes their job easier. And they value those people who are willing to try, willing to support ideas. You know, the person in the organization who's a level above you sees something that you don't see. They see the organization differently. They can see a little bit further because they're higher up. They have information that you don't have. They might have been given instructions from their boss that you are not privy to. There might be really good reasons that they're implementing this change other than, I just wanted a change. They might have instructions which mean that this change is what they need to do. And so you being supportive of it is a positive thing. You know, even if you have more experience in the role than your boss does, you still don't have the exclusive on new ideas and whether or not they will be good if they're implemented. You just don't.
No, you don't. And it's something that what you're saying is, I want to put my new boss ahead, their priorities, their changes, their ideas, their tasking ahead of my own, in order to prove that you're being supportive and that you're doing the right thing for the new boss. You have the institutional knowledge that they might need, but additionally, we want to be supportive. So if there's a change to the core system and you think it might be a problem, we need to talk in private with our new boss about that. We want to think about sharing the information we have with them in a way that's still supportive to them. What we want to tell our boss about is the factors that they haven't considered. We don't want to argue for the status quo, because then again, we'll be seen as recalcitrant, and it's really not a good impression to give to your new boss. What we're trying to do instead of being that way, of arguing or not sharing, is to introduce the things that they need to know by saying something supportive first. So you might say, I'm very glad you're looking at changing this area. That's a good one. Or, I can see why you want to make changes here. It's a problem area. Then we use the and, not but technique, that phrasing. So instead of using the word but, you simply use the word and. And you'd be surprised, it's so effective. It's so easy to change too. You also want to use the teach as teach not technique. And so we use the and, not but, and teach as teach not to introduce the issues you might see with this. So it could sound like this. I'm glad you're looking at changing our purchasing system, and I don't know if you've been told this, there is a directive from the head office about exactly how the approvals are carried out. I'd be happy to work with you to reconcile these two things if you haven't already considered it. So that way, you're introducing the data they need and being supportive at the same time without kind of stomping on their new idea and making it seem like it's really not going to work. Because that's often how it feels when you kind of introducing a reason why the idea isn't perfect. So when people hear that, they think, oh, well, this whole idea, maybe this person's against the whole idea. It's okay to give them the information they need about why that might be an issue or why you think you could still do it, but there's something they need to consider. You just have to be careful about that, right? And we have guidance on and not but and teach as teach not in our previous podcasts. So you might want to take a look at those, because when we talk to managers about change, we describe change as an org cart. There are people who are pulling the cart. They're ready and willing to make the changes. There are people who are in the cart. They're not really making change, creating change, or pulling the cart, but they're not really against it. It's kind of like dead weight. Then there are the people behind the cart. They're hanging off the back edge. They're trying to slow it down. They're physically, like, actually pulling in the wrong direction. If you're going to have a successful career, it's really important. You want to be one of the people pulling the cart forwards. We want to be part of change. We want to be part of moving forward. Think about your company. You would never want to slow it down and pull it back against the change. Change is hard, certainly. And we just want to make sure that we are being supportive of these changes. It's really important. If you can't support the changes, if you really have an actual problem and you really don't feel like you can do it, you might want to start looking for a job somewhere else, because it's part of your responsibility to the organization to make sure you're pulling that cart forwards.
And another factor there, Kate, is that if you are not going forwards, if you are not changing, if you are not growing, you are essentially going backwards, because the organization is going forwards all of the time. Hopefully, it's growing, it's getting new customers, it's increasing its scope, it's finishing products and starting new ones. The organization is always growing. And so if you are not moving with it, you are essentially going backwards. And so for your career, it's important to be on that front edge. It's important to be in front of the changes. It's important to be supportive of those changes. They're going to happen whether you like it or not. So you might as well be the one who's out there flying the flag.
Mm-hmm. The second thing that we want to talk about is we suggest that you prepare a summary of what you do. You should prepare a document which summarizes the things that you do, the tasks that you're involved in for your new boss. Even if you never give it to them, you're bound to have discussions about the work you do, and thinking through what you actually do is really going to be helpful in those conversations with your new boss, right? They don't understand the scope of your work, probably. They're not fully aware. You can help to share that stuff with them if you've thought through it. So you can be a little more proactive about that by just simply preparing a summary of the things that you do, like which business areas are you supporting or what sales area are you involved in. You also want to consider your handoffs to other teams. If you're a developer and you hand off to the QA team, that's something to think about and include in that list. This will really help your new boss understand the landscape that she's working in. Think too about your important relationships. Consider the impacts on those relationships as you make changes. Perhaps one of the changes your new boss makes is a change to a report that you hand off to somebody else, and that's going to possibly impact the relationship of the person who receives that report. And maybe they don't work for your boss, so they don't really know what's going on. You want to consider those relationships and the handoffs you're doing and the work and the tasking. Having a list of all of these things will help you make a more thoughtful plan, ensuring that your relationship stays strong, even if you make changes to those people that you work with and the handoffs that you're involved in. Because if there's going to be shifts in what you do and the processes and even something as simple as your report, the people around you are going to notice and they're going to want to understand more. It's something to think through. It's something to consider. It's a little bit of deliberation that can really make the changes that you're about to go through a lot easier for you. You'll feel more comfortable. I would feel way more comfortable having the list and understanding the impacts, even just if it's something that helps you to understand where the impacts might occur. Even if it's seamless, right? In a perfect world, it's still good to know. And why not, right? a good place to start for me is usually my status report. A lot of people have to create status reports for their boss and stuff like that. So it might be something as simple as looking at your status report and making a, you know, lower level assessment of that and what it means for your tasking and your relationships and things like that. But we do recommend that you make a summary of what you do and what you work on and where impacts might occur because of these changes and because of your new boss.
One of the ways to really positively deal with change is to do this, is to proactively look at what changes are coming up and how that's going to change what you're doing, and then making allowances or making changes to what you're doing now to accommodate that. It's one way to deal with change more positively, rather than wait for it to hit you and then discover that it's ruined one of your relationships that you really depend on. That would be a shame when you can do some work ahead of time and not have that occurrence. Our next recommendation is pay close attention. So we often say on Career Tools there are two foundations to a successful career: results and relationships. And your relationship with your boss is the most important relationship you have in the work environment, not least because your boss can fire you. But, you know, as I said at the beginning, things like your boss can decide whether or not you get the best assignments, your boss can decide whether or not you get a raise, your boss can decide what your performance review says, your boss can decide what work you work on and whether that's interesting to you or not. And so when you have a new boss, it's really important to develop a positive relationship with that person quickly. And by paying close attention to what they do and how they do it and what their preferences are, you can get really useful information that will make working together much easier. So for example, read the emails really carefully, not for the words, but look for the tone and the style. Are they short and to the point, or are they long with bullets and attachments? Are there smiley faces? Does it include a salutation and a sign-off? All of these are the signs of how your boss prefers to communicate. And if you adopt that style too, we're not telling you to mirror it, we're not telling you to copy it, but if your boss sends smiley faces in his emails, you can use a few smiley faces too. Even if that's not really your style, just find a place where a smiley face goes and put one in there. And your boss will receive that email in a more positive way because they think, oh, here's someone who's like me. It's that thing when you meet someone new and you just click. It's because you're similar. It's because you have the same communication style. And so if you make your communication style more similar to somebody else's, they feel that click. And that's the start of a positive relationship.
Mm-hmm. Humans in general communicate in a way that's the most comfortable to them, right? So I communicate in a way that's most comfortable to me, and you communicate in ways that are most comfortable to you. And so if we can take note of that via email and, you know, even if it's smiley faces, I know some people are thinking, oh, emoticons or things like exclamation points. That's another one too. If you notice your boss uses an exclamation point, you can use an exclamation point. Because what happens when you make these small adaptations is that your boss can understand you better. It's easier for them to know what you're saying because the way you're saying it makes sense to them. If you ever opened someone else's email and looked at it and just immediately thought to yourself, oh no, I don't know. That happens to me when I get really long emails with a bunch of attachments. I open it and I think, oh no, I have this immediate reaction. And we do, because we communicate a lot, but the person we communicate with the most is ourself. So you get comfortable talking to people who talk the way you do because you talk mostly to yourself. And so we want to take note of those things and leverage our knowledge in a way that would allow us to communicate more effectively. For example, we talked about email, right? The content of email specifically. But also, does your boss send you an email when they could drop by your office? That's something to note. So that means they prefer email, right? They're probably a reader versus a listener. Maybe they come by when they could send an email. Okay, that means you could drop by your boss's office sometimes. Now, you shouldn't pop by all the time. Their time is pretty valuable and need to be careful. But these are things that you can note. It will tell you, is your boss a listener or a reader? And that will help you to understand how to approach them. When they speak in the meeting, do they talk for a long time or do they use short sentences? Are they very direct? That's something that you should take note of. How are the meetings? Does your boss like them? Do they try to get out of them? Things like that. All of these little data points will tell you a lot about your boss's preferences. And if you know those things, you can behave and communicate in a way that makes it easier for your boss. And it's just something that's so simple, but can really kind of smooth the way and pave the way and make it easier for your boss to communicate with you. And the more your boss communicates with you, the stronger your relationship will be with them. So another thing, we're talking about the meetings. Even if you prefer a more casual setting, if your boss prefers the meeting, then set up the meeting if you want to talk to them. It's so easy, but you really can improve your relationships by communicating in ways that make more sense to the other person. Now, because your boss is new, he could be acting differently. Maybe the boss might have more face-to-face interaction initially rather than sending emails because he's trying to get to know the new team. Or maybe she might have more meetings than normal because she's still trying to learn a lot about the processes and things like that. But they'll settle into their new way of working pretty quickly. Most of us do. And once they've done that and you've been paying attention, it'll be easier for you, again, to improve your relationship by behaving and communicating in ways that make more sense to your boss.
And that's an excellent way to enhance your career. So why wouldn't you do it, right?
Exactly.
So the last part of our guidance is change your behavior. And we've been saying this all along, but we're just going to make it completely clear here. Once you know what your new boss's preferences are, you can start changing your behavior accordingly. And there's nothing disingenuous about this. It's not sucking up. You're not being two-faced. You're just trying to make your working life easier by having a good relationship with your boss. It's a sensible thing to do. And you do it in other relationships. But somehow, when you do it with your boss, people have a negative connotation. But you know, if you have a mother-in-law, you don't treat your mother-in-law like every other relationship you have. You're more guarded, perhaps, with your mother-in-law, depending on what kind of relationship you have with them. You probably have certain subjects that you don't mention with your mother-in-law. If she likes to have Sunday dinner, you probably make an effort to have Sunday dinner. That's not disingenuous. It's not being two-faced. It's doing what you need to do to keep that relationship strong and to make it work for both of you. And that's what you're doing with your boss when you're changing your behavior to meet their preferences. You're just investing in the relationship by making some changes. And this is what's sometimes called managing upwards, which really just means having a good relationship with your boss or working on a good relationship with your boss. And there is a longer list of factors to consider and more in-depth guidance on what to do when you've established your boss's preferences in our Managing Your Boss cast. So if you go to the website and search for Managing Your Boss, you'll find it. This podcast really connects with a lot of the other podcasts. We've mentioned lots today.
Absolutely. I love it when the guidance all kind of comes together. And there are just so many things that you can do. I mean, this is really just about behavior. Again, we've said this before too. Your boss controls your addiction to food and clothing and shelter. Your boss can fire you. They can make your life difficult on a day-to-day basis. They can make it easy on a day-to-day basis. They can make sure that you never get the great assignment. They can make sure you never get a raise. They could also make sure that you get the great assignments and you get a lot of visibility to VPs, or that you get the kind of assignments you want that would allow you to do the work you really like to do. Having a great relationship with your boss makes the negatives less likely and the opposite, the positives, more likely. So why wouldn't you put effort into that relationship? All we're suggesting is that you behave in a way that's in service of the positive relationship you could have with your boss, right? The effort means taking note of their preferences and working in ways that make sense to them. It really doesn't matter how your old boss did it. It's time to start working with your new boss. And all that means is that you behave in a way that is in service to the relationship with them so that you guys can get things done in service to the organization.
A new boss coming in is stressful for most people. Most people find change difficult, and therefore someone coming in, when you've had someone that you're used to, someone new coming in is difficult. But making that person's life easier will make your life easier too. So don't sit back and wait for things to happen. Be part of the change that's going on. Help make the change go smoothly. And that ensures that your relationship with your new boss develops positively, and that will have a positive effect on your career. When you next have a boss, I hope that helps you be more positive and act more positive and have a great relationship with that new person. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone. Hope that was helpful if you have a new boss. We'll be back next week with more guidance.